In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.
I am the good shepherd. We heard these words over and over in the gospel. I am the good shepherd. These words that Jesus says to us today. You know, in our culture, 21st century American upper Midwest, we probably don't think a lot about shepherds. I honestly don't even think I have seen in a 50-mile radius sheep, for that matter. You know, somebody earlier in service told me, oh yeah, there's sheep out at so, yeah. But we really don't see a lot of them. They're not very common. Of course, when we live in Wisconsin, what do we think of when we think of livestock? Cows, right. Here we are in the dairy state. But if anything, sheep probably make us think of some far-off place like Scotland or Australia or New Zealand. The reality is, in our context, we've probably encountered more shepherds in a Christmas pageant than we have in real life. But shepherding was very common in the times and in the place where the Bible was written. Our first encounter with shepherds in the Bible comes to us in Genesis. The story of Jacob. Jacob's family are shepherds. A family of shepherds that goes on for generations, up to the point of King David, who before being king, of course, was a shepherd. And he is attributed to have written that well-known Psalm, Psalm 23, the one we said today, "The Lord is my shepherd." A psalm that is about guidance, about care. The Old Testament prophets use shepherds as metaphors, often for Israelite and Judean leaders. Woe to the shepherds, the prophet Amos says. And at least in Luke's gospel, the very first ones to visit Jesus after he was born were who? The shepherds. So here we have Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. Now, like so many passages in the Bible, this is not an isolated thought. It's not like Jesus is just sitting around one day with his disciples, pontificating on things and saying, oh, well, you know, I could be a shepherd today. This bit of text we have in John's gospel comes to us as part of a much longer narrative, one that's about two chapters long. And prior to this, there's another story that's going on. About a chapter earlier, the Gospel of John sets the stage with the story of a blind man. And Jesus heals this man who had been blind from birth. Well, after he's healed, the Pharisees first go to his parents and start to interrogate them. Well, they don't want to be interrogated, so they pass the buck. Well, don't talk to us. He's a grown-up. Talk to him. So the Pharisees go and they talk to the man who had been blind. And they find out, yes, he indeed had been blind. And they say, well, how is this? Could this Jesus guy be a sinner? They're asking him. The man who had been blind says, I don't know. All I know is that I was blind and now I can see. But they keep pressing on this guy and asking him. Finally, the man who had been blind, he breaks. And after breaking, he starts to proclaim the gospel. And he says, here is the astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he, meaning Jesus, opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to the one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. And then this formerly blind man says, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Now at this point, out of fear, the Pharisees threw the formerly blind man out of the temple. And that's where Jesus encounters this man. And Jesus says to him, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see. And then he says, and those who do see may become blind. And of course, Jesus here is not talking just about physical blindness, but he's talking about spiritual blindness. And the Pharisees overhear Jesus say that, and they immediately realize that Jesus is talking about them. They're not too thrilled about that. Not surprisingly. So it's at this point that Jesus begins the first of two shepherd narratives. The first one being the parable about saying he is the gate, the one that lets the sheep in and out. Then he gets into what we heard today about the good shepherd. Now, in this parable of the good shepherd, Jesus lays out four figures as a metaphor. The first figure talks about are the sheep. The second figure is the wolf. Third figure, the hired hand. And the fourth, the shepherd. Now, the sheep represent, guess who? Us, all of humanity. Everybody go, baa. Yeah, there we go. Well, humanity, as the sheep, humanity is plagued by all sorts of things. Humanity is plagued by sin, disease, struggle, and death. In the case of the blind man, plagued by this disability, the inability to see. On top of it, sheep aren't very smart. We wander off. We get stuck in bramble bushes. We are vulnerable and frail, and we're not able to do this life thing very well on our own. Now, the wolf represents those things that plague humanity, perhaps personified in the devil. But more broadly, it is any evil that stalks and plagues humanity. In the case of the earlier story, it is, of course, the man's blindness. Or it could be the spiritual blindness that the Pharisees themselves are experiencing. In our case, it can be anything that prevents us from living fully with our spiritual eyes open. The wolf that scatters and snatches up the sheep. And then we have the third figure. The third figure is the hired hand. This is the Pharisees, the preservers of institution, the one that Peter calls in the reading from Acts, the builders. These are the ones who are motivated out of self-preservation. They're motivated out of fear, fear of the unknown, fear of losing power. Pharisees, or the hired hand, of course, exist in our day today, sometimes in the church, but sometimes broadly in society. It's a human problem. These are those who are motivated by ego, by power, or personal gain. Quite often, the hired hand or the Pharisees appear to care. They may even use language of love and compassion, but when pressed, they don't want to be served, or they don't want to serve, but to be served, as Jesus talks about his own ministry. Now, before we start picking on Pharisees or start pointing out faces and figures and name-calling here, we have to understand something about the hired hand, and that is that the hired hand is something that all people, it's a trap that we can all fall into. We can all become Pharisees at times. We have to remember, Pharisees weren't always the bad guy. They were just the ones who were falling into this trap of humanity. And that's what happens too often when we place too heavily our trust in human power, in human institutions, in human knowledge and wisdom, and not in Christ. And now we get to the fourth figure, that is the shepherd. The shepherd, it takes no imagination to remember who that is, because Jesus says over and over, I am the good shepherd. Jesus in art is often depicted as a shepherd, sometimes in stained glass windows, and I think we might have one somewhere in here. Maybe. I think, oh, over there. There we go. Where sometimes Jesus is pictured with a sheep slung or a lamb slung over his shoulder as the shepherd. But Jesus talks about what it means to be the good shepherd, to lay down his life for humanity. It is a foretelling of the sacrifice on the cross that he would endure. Jesus also searches out the lost and guides us back in. Jesus does not give up on us even when the world has, even when sin and evil torment and assault us. Christ does not waver. He has the guiding rod. You know, so often people remember the rod in Psalm 23 that comforts and guides us. People often confuse this in the in Proverbs, where it says, those who spare the rod hate their children. They often think they mean you must beat your children. No, it's about guidance. It's about care. It's a symbol of loving kindness, of guiding and comfort. And Christ drives away the wolves in our lives. The image of Christ as the good shepherd has been celebrated in art and poetry and song for centuries. It remains a powerful image for us, even for those of us who may never have seen a sheep, because we can understand the care and guidance that is built into that image. We can see that that image is a metaphor for the good news of Christ Jesus. And we know that we can overcome fear and put our whole trust in Christ, because he is the one who lays down his life for his sheep. Amen.